TV shows and movies have tried to appeal to teen audiences for generations, and that effort has continued into the 21st century. Netflix recently unveiled the program 13 Reasons Why, which focuses on the suicide of a teenage girl.
Hannah Baker made these tapes before she died, saying what we all did to her, what you did.
You've heard these tapes?
Yeah, I'm on them too.
And who has them now?
At this point, I don't know.
Jesus. But who's gonna believe a dead girl, right?
Although it involves mostly young characters, the program isn't only aimed at younger viewers. But even when that has been the goal of writers and producers, many on the broad spectrum of teen-focused programs have attracted older audiences. To learn about why that may be, I'm joined by Jonathan Gray. He's a professor of media and cultural studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Jonathan, can the issues presented by these programs run the gamut from light to very dark, and should they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, sometimes we're precisely because we kind of struggle with how to peg teens. Some people see them as children, and so some teen media treats them like children and imagines that teens have very childlike issues and concerns. And then there are others that see teens as on the precipice of adulthood and therefore are dealing with remarkably serious concerns, and sometimes concerns and issues that get dealt with more than we find in a lot of media directed specifically at adults.
Are adult viewers more in the situation of wanting to see what, I'm even trying to relate to what teens are going through, or like with most things, are we just looking for something that is entertaining, thought-provoking? Is there something deeper there, because many of us who would watch so-called teen media are past the age of that? Are we trying to grab something else? Are we trying to get more insights?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are probably like several different modes, right? And in all things, it's usually more than one explanation. I think some people are drawn in by nostalgia. You know, it was a good time in their lives, or perhaps it wasn't a good time in their life, and they wish they could sort of redo it. And so I think that's one appeal. I also think that, you know, teens exist in a sort of very melodramatic, over-the-top mode. You know, we're used to teens expressing themselves in completely wild fashion. And I think that melodramatic mode is something that, like, a lot of us can enjoy vicariously, that, you know, we might not, when we look at other shows, allow certain characters to respond by crying or by getting intensely angry or so forth. And some of those emotions are ones that we appreciate in teen TV, and that we appreciate that teens sort of allow us to experience those vicariously. I mean, I think the other thing that's in play with some teen media is that teenagehood is this sort of in-between zone between childhood and adulthood. And so it's a point of becoming where they're working out who they want to be and also working out, you know, what the world requires of them. And so I think it's a really good space for society to tell stories about what society is and what it should be and what we demand of youth, and perhaps sometimes to challenge that. Or sometimes it's precisely about, you know, drawing teens in line and telling them what's expected of them.
And what about expectations for the creators and the writers? Because unless Hollywood is doing something we're not aware of, the writers are certainly not teens at this point. The creators of these shows are not teens. What should our expectations be for how they approach the subject matter? Should we give them extra bonus points for trying to make it more realistic, or is, you know, entertainment entertainment?
I personally give them bonus points for trying to make it serious. I find it sad sometimes the degree to which some teen media is all projection. It's about telling teens what we think we want them to be and speaking to them in the way that we think they should listen. And that seems kind of pointless and a little depressing. I'm more personally interested in teen media that is willing to be honest and realize the kind of pains and issues and concerns that are actually a part of a teen's life world and that tries to address them. Of course, that's hard to do if you're not in that age group, but you know, hopefully a lot of them have children, or they remember well, or they're talking to other people. Hopefully they're consulting rather than just sort of playing make-believe as to what's going on.
As we're sort of in this, what's been called the golden age of television, I may even be a few years behind on this because some of the shows I would cite are off the air now, but I think about Sopranos and Mad Men and Breaking Bad in particular, that almost really pushed the anti-hero concept. Is there an equivalent to that when it comes to teen media? Is it okay for there to be the anti-hero when we're talking about established adults? And would it feel a little more uncomfortable if we tried to see teens as anti-heroes?
Well, I think the CW actually really jumped on that bull and ran with it with Gossip Girl. I think of there was a point in time where the Parents Television Council was talking about how horrible Gossip Girl was and how it had horrible values. And the CW gleefully played with that and had all sorts of advertising posters that showed, you know, a character having an orgasm, for instance, with a quote from the PTC below saying that it was a horrible show. And so they were actively using that to sell it. So I think anti-heroes definitely exist in teen media. I mean, if you think about the character of the bad boy, bad boys existed for a long time. We might be getting something closer to a real bad boy as opposed to, you know, the Fonz from Happy Day, who is the most sedated bad boy ever, or Uncle Jesse on Full House. But we actually see some sort of real bad boys, so to speak, in teen media. So I think that's actually a character that's quite common. The real question is how much, you know, the rest of the cast are allowed to go down that route, or whether that one character just sort of exists in a little sphere by themselves.
Jonathan Gray is a professor of media and cultural studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.